I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Maybe, just maybe not.
Let my dream become a nightmare every 4 years.
Oh, dear. Thank you, Eltel. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the World Cup Ramble. Here we are once again, and I'd like to say hello to Luke Moore.
Hello, all right.
I'd like to say hello to Peter Donaldson.
Hello.
Donald
Trout. Hello.
Donald Trump in the corner there. And James or Jim Campbell.
Hello or hi.
Completes the sexy trio. Manmonth.co.uk.
Yeah, if your computer still operates when you've been crying into it, manmonth.co.uk is where you can find the Football Ramble for the duration of the World Cup. We're going out to Johannesburg in a couple of weeks' time for the final weekend.
Brilliant.
And we're going to be doing a couple of shows out there as well, and you can find them at manmonth.co.uk. Mm-hmm. There's also prizes. This is all in association with IGN and 1 million fragrance for men. So you go on there, you choose a number between 1 and 1 million, and you win DJ
Five.
Hero. What?
Five.
Oh, he's reversed.
Oh,
flip reversed
on me.
Very good.
Oh my days.
300,074.
So get on there and you can win loads of prizes and stuff, tellies and
ramble videos,
beer coolers, and we've also done some videos.
Yeah,
as well. So all good.
All good.
IGN, manmonth.co.uk, 1 million fragrance for men. That's all you need to know.
Ow.
Yeah,
That was like a Michael Jackson. Ow! Not like someone's hurt me. Chaps, highlights of the last few days since the last ramble, really, from the World Cup. James or Jim?
I'm going to go for Cagliarella. Is that how you say it?
Cagliarella.
Yeah, his pointlessly brilliant goal against Slovakia for Italy. That perfectly weighted little chip. I love it when sort of a team's really up against it, and then you get this moment of quality that really, really comes through. It's, you know, sadly for Italy, it didn't actually matter, but I just thought it was a lovely goal. One of the goals of the tournament.
You're an absolute git for a chip.
I'm a git for a chip.
It was just like around that sort of time when Italy thought, wow, we better start playing now.
Yeah.
We're going to go out otherwise.
Mm. They nearly snatched the equaliser.
Was it John Champion who went mental in that bit?
Cannavaro.
Yeah.
Fabio Cannavaro, your career is terminated.
Mental.
He's going out to the Middle East.
Yeah, and then afterwards, when the game actually finished, he said, goodbye, Fabio. Possibly forever.
Threatening.
Walking off like into a
jilted lover.
Like a spurned lover, yeah. You can imagine him chucking the Cannavaro's clothes out the window onto the front lawn. Goodbye forever. I don't want to hear it anymore. It was very strange.
Harsh to single him out.
Yeah, I thought it was weird.
Dear, oh dear, Pete.
My favourite bit is probably the return of the Ghanaian Potman.
Classic.
He's back. He's got his ticket for the advanced stages. Oh,
I hope he's
wonderful.
At the
course.
The bloke
wonderful.
Next to him was terrifying. He had black and white stripes drawn on his lips, but he was moving around to make him look like some sort of horrible worm.
From Live and Let Die.
Yeah. He was absolutely terrifying.
You can't kill him.
You have to cut his
weird.
Head off.
Yeah. Is that how you kill Baron Samedi?
That's how you kill the Highlander. I've just transposed the two.
Or zombie. Oh,
right. Or a zombie, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, be good to see the Ghanaian pot man.
He's
back.
Got it back in again. I thought he'd
what
be
was he cooking? What was he cooking this time?
Goals!
Victory. He's cooking up a victory.
An American merking. So he cooked up.
Yeah, oh, Luke.
Add one part Gian, two parts counter-attack.
Yeah.
End up with a win. That's what he was cooking up. What? Stir for a bit.
Your highlight.
It's a cooking metaphor. My highlight is Gabriel Heinz headbutting a camera accidentally.
Because he looked really annoyed immediately, didn't it? Like you do when you bang your head. I banged my nose on a fucking door yesterday. And it is annoying. You just get angry, don't you?
He got really instantly angry.
Yeah, and he hit the camera, didn't he?
Yeah, technically a red. Technically a straight red.
You raise your arms, you're off.
Yeah.
He's clearly against technology. Yeah. In the game.
Exactly. Oh.
Yeah. So you should have done that after you'd chosen your bit.
Yeah. That's a topical one.
Yeah.
Mine, well, a bit like Pete, I'm going to sort of hark back to a previous highlight, which has been developed. Billy Big Time, Clinton.
Oh, yeah.
Was back. Now, before, I highlighted...
Sack machine Clinton. Yeah.
before, he was sitting next to Sepp Blatter. Clearly, he was a bit new to the game, didn't know what he was doing. And he sat next to him.
We've all been next to Blatter.
Just, yeah. And probably just thought, you're a dick.
Yeah.
Who does he sub in for him? Mick Jagger.
Yeah. Possibly the only man a bigger dick.
That's a great sub. Chat would never go.
No, it's true. It would be interesting, chat.
Tell me about Keith.
Tell me about Keith.
But Mick Jagger was supporting the US the other day anyway.
Yeah, but he lives England. He was at England as well.
Yeah, fair enough. It was a lovely cutaway. I have to agree.
Yeah, yeah. So
it would have been better if Keith Richards was next to him playing a vuvuzela. That'd be amazing.
Keith, can you pass me the popcorn? I don't want to eat.
Okay.
Yeah. Matches.
Was that Bill Clinton?
It was my Mick Jagger.
Oh, well, Keith. Nice one, Keith.
Mick Jagger is why Americans think we talk like Australians.
Yeah.
Good observation, James. Our points. I'm going to give the points to James.
Good.
It's not a popular choice.
Well, no, but it was one of the goals of the tournament.
I think, for me, it was the goal of the tournament so far.
Okay. Let's get it out the way, then.
USA?
America went there. England, stroke we.
Yeah.
The English public lost 4-1 to Germany. And we would have gone through if it weren't for that pesky goal line technology.
Yeah.
Not.
No. To be fair, England were lucky not to be about 5 down by that point.
Really,
anyway.
Yeah, I mean, closer Mr. Sitter as well. To be
he
fair,
did.
To, didn't he?
Yeah.
Somewhere well. as that shot went in off the bar and then was disallowed. Hawkeye at Wimbledon was just going mental, just having like a seizure and not understanding
yeah,
why.
Yeah, exactly. Fearing the disturbance in the force.
Yeah.
they had the guy on who invented Hawkeye on Sky Sports. And they were, oh yeah, it's really easy to use. Yeah, I should use it.
Oh, there was the head of the cricket, just the head of cricket, I think he is.
Yeah.
And he was saying how the guy who presented the presentation for technology to be brought in for cricket,
yeah,
which obviously won them over and said, well, this seems fantastic. He did the same for FIFA. He said, look, this is what can happen. And FIFA just sort of went, nah, you're all right.
It's such a strange attitude.
I hope they didn't actually say that.
Should we talk about the game first?
Well, I was going to say, listen, the technology is pretty much, with regards to the outcome of the game, it's not really the big issue.
No,
the big issue is that England were diabolical. And as we said before, I think, I'm not sure if it was on the show or not, but I think you and I were talking, James, at some point in our lives.
Just being mates.
And we said, before the Slovenia game, do we just want to like have another draw with Slovenia and go out, or do we want to get our pants pulled down?
You said that. Yeah, because there's often a lot of sort of doom and gloom predicted about England coming up against a good side, and they generally, you know, quite often put in a decent performance and still lose. But this was what we've been fearing for a long time, and this is what the pessimists have been talking about. It was absolutely right. I mean, points where we couldn't control a football, and Germany were great, but it's difficult to pick out individual players that were actually sort of stood out more than any of the other of the German side, because they all played very well. They just stuck to their jobs.
They played like a team.
They did play like a team. They just let us tear ourselves apart and took advantage of it.
They just had a lot of room. I think that's the main problem. Klaus Podolski were able to just run. They were already behind our defenders when they realised that they actually had the football. It was very weak.
It's like the maths of our formations didn't add up, because our formation sort of, when put with theirs, just left them a free man.
Well, that is the case, because I mean, and I don't think I'm a supporter of Capello, as I think most of us are, but that you can't deny that he's found the transition to international football difficult.
Of course.
And if you look at that England-Germany game compared with the USA-Ghana game, Bob Bradley, who I think is a really underrated coach from what I've seen of him, he knew they were getting over on the midfield and he changed it. He changed it after half an hour. He dragged the guy off.
Yeah.
And he had to. It's a big decision. You've got to make it. I don't think, I mean, Clark isn't a great player, Ricardo Clark, and he was at fault for the goal. He gave the ball away. But I still think that Even if he had someone better than Clark in there, he still would have changed it, because they were getting overrun, and England were getting overrun as well. I don't know why Capello didn't do anything about that, because it's such a strange thing to not do.
I think it would have been nice if Capello started his international career, let's say, with a younger side who we could sort of instill a little bit. He's got a lot of players there that think they fucking know it all, to be quite frank. And he only sees them every couple of months, and it's just I think it's difficult for him to
be honest. Why though, in qualifying, when we played a more of a 4-2-3-1 and we seem to look pretty solid, and I know Ferdinand's been injured and all, but he seems then to go to a flat 4-4-2, which is quite McLaren-esque, very straight line.
It's conservatism.
See, what this reminds me of, and I think I've said this to you guys before, is when you see a comedian who's not doing very well on the circuit, but he's got a little bit of a set that does okay, and he doesn't completely die on his ass, and he knows that it's not very good, so he writes loads of new stuff and thinks he should change it. Then he gets to the venue, bottles it, and just does the old stuff that doesn't quite work, but isn't the worst thing. That's just what it struck me of. I don't know why the system has changed so much. And the group stages seem very much like Capello didn't know what his starting 11 would be, even if everybody was fit.
Well, he seemed to get that right. He seemed to have that in his head, and then he changed it. Mm. And I don't know if it's because of injury or unavailability of players, but he did change it. Like Marcus rightly says, in qualifying, didn't really play anyone good. I mean, Croatia are okay.
Yeah, but they were under strength at Wembley.
They were, and so it's a difficult one to gauge. So he probably thinks, right, I want to be solid. And in fairness, he's not the only manager at the World Cup to say, right, I don't want to lose my first game. Mm-hmm. So you can understand the conservatism there. And Algeria, I mean, you can't excuse, that was appalling. Yeah. But that would have been appalling, whatever the formation, because they performed so badly. And then Slovenia, they played okay.
Yeah.
And so he thought, well,
but
fine,
didn't do enough to win the group.
But you cannot go into a game against Germany, who, again, I still don't think are going to win the tournament. They're not good enough to win the tournament, in my opinion. So they're not a top draw side. They're a young side. They're good. They've got good players. You know, Thomas Müller, who got two goals.
20 years old?
It's his sixth cap.
Yeah.
He made his debut in March for Germany.
Yeah.
He's not an old hand. He's not someone who tears you to pieces.
But the problem is deeper rooted. Yeah.
Well, it's worth saying that Müller's a young player coming through at Bayern Munich, which is the equilent of us having a player coming through and doing really well at Chelsea or United, which we just don't have at our disposal.
That's absolutely right, but that's a slightly different point. What I was going to go on to say was that that's the difference. Jogi Löw has obviously seen Müller play in under-21s along with Özil, and he said, look, I'll take him then. Capello's not done that.
That's right.
Capello's not given players chances. He's gone for the old guard.
Which hasn't worked for a number of tournaments.
It speaks for a lot of a squad of players when you've got a manager as experienced as Fabio Capello, who is scratching around, tearing his hair out, trying to get Paul Scholes at the age of 35 out of retirement.
There's been a lot of talk of the need for experience in our squad, but all they have the experience of is failure.
Yeah, that's true.
At this level.
Yeah. I've said that loads of times before. Yeah. It's experience, but it doesn't mean anything if you don't have experience of doing anything good.
Their goal, their score that was closer scored straight from the keeper's hands. That is the first time a goal's been scored from the keeper's hands since 1966. Tells you something.
Oi, you remember 66 though?
But also like with Opta-Jo on Twitter, wonderful fella, but he sort of made the point through stats, which is the best way you make a point. When Rooney gave the ball away more times than any other footballer in the World Cup.
It's crazy.
When that's your sort of talent, and that's your main man, the fella you put on the front of Tesco's to advertise your donuts or whatever.
But in a few months, though, come Super Sunday, Pete.
Yeah, exactly.
Andy Gray will be loving him, won't he?
Gareth Barry couldn't keep up with Özil. Terry tucked in there to get him, and he got left a big gap, and that was it.
Mm. Terry was, I think, was at fault. He was basically in their box for their third goal, possibly, where he was just
gave the ball away so quickly.
I mean, a lot of people are saying, "Oh, it's not so much Terry's fault that he had so much space to deal with." But Terry was poor. He did give the ball a play. It gave the ball away. Nearly fell over when there was no one around him at one point with the ball.
The thing that I just simply don't understand here is you come into the Germany game.
It's offsides again. And
when everybody knew what Germany's main attacking threats were, and Özil was a player that everybody singled out. He's had a good tournament so far, and he's a very, very good player. And he goes in between the midfield and the defence. So everyone thought, right, there's your main man. Closer, we all know about him.
Okay.
But when England turned up, it was as if they'd never heard of these players.
Yeah.
Barry didn't drop back in there. We played quite a flat four. So they picked up Schweinsteiger and the other guy in the middle. His name escapes me for the moment. And then, so it was left to the two centre-backs, and one wasn't sure if he should go out to Özil. And then Klose was left, and it was all over the shop. And it stayed bad. As you say, now, is that Capello? being very, very poor tactically, or is that the players not doing what they should be doing?
Surely, Gareth Barry has to track back there. He just wasn't doing it.
I can't believe that Fabio Capello's got to where he is without any sort of tactical awareness.
But why hasn't he changed?
Well, the thing was, mate, it doesn't make any difference, because a lot of times Ozil, who's the best player without the ball that I've seen for absolutely ages, he moves all over the place.
He pulls people all. It's what he did for the first two goals.
He created a couple of those goals without touching the ball.
The problem is, when Barry does pick him up, he drifts out to crazy positions where Barry doesn't know where to go.
Yeah.
When he stays in this position, Barry can't keep up with him for pace. And the other time, Barry was nowhere near him, so Terry got dragged out of position. That's basically it. But the bottom line it comes down to is the fact that Germany are a better team because they've got better players coming through, and England are completely stagnant. Mm. The players that we've been seduced into thinking by the Premier League and by the Sky's coverage of it are world-class players, genuinely are not world-class players. Yeah. Fair enough that Steven Gerrard has won the Champions League. And
that's 5 years. Years ago.
Yeah, no, but even so, when was the last time a team made
Paul
up
Lambert
predominantly
won the Champions League.
Exactly, predominantly English players has won anything?
Yeah.
You know, you've got, I mean, it just doesn't happen. John Terry is a player, but you've got to be a dribbling moron to not realise that John Terry is a brilliant defender next to Ricardo Cavalli or Alex or Rio Ferdinand.
He's a last ditch defender, isn't
he? He's got no pace.
Yeah.
He can't deal with pace.
It's not Capello's fault that he can't make a 3 yard pass. Because at the end of the day, we don't have any players that attack the ball. The difference watching the start of the Mexico Argentina match.
Oh my goodness.
Mexico breaking out the box. Wonderful. They look so confident, they always had a man free, and they did it quickly.
That's right.
We looked so slow and so knackered. It was weird to see.
But this is, I mean, the Germany 4, England 1, I mean, that kind of really is just skims the surface of the problem here.
Absolutely.
The problem is very deep-rooted in the English game.
Yeah.
You know, we play the game in Britain, and maybe for some of the Scandinavian countries, because they have the English FA handbook, although a lot of their players do go abroad, so they...
But we used to export the game.
But anyway, I'm not talking about sort of Scandinavians, but we play the game differently to pretty much the rest of the world. And it's not working, and it hasn't worked for years.
Yeah.
And we seem to be very far behind. And the problem is, I mean, look, here's an example of one of the problems. Prior to this tournament, this is an article in The Guardian, they said that prior to this tournament, there are only 2,769 English coaches holding UEFA's top qualifications. Now, compare that to Spain, who are 5 short of 24,000. Italy, nearly 29,500. Germany, nearly 35,000. France, 17,500. People in this country, they... The coaches, the players, they're not scholars of the game. Do you know what I mean by that?
It's also worth remembering, we're a small island.
Yeah.
I mean, we're maybe expecting far too much of our team from a sort of kind of logistical point of view. I know we have a large population.
A very large population compared to a lot of other nations.
The problem is, and to pick up what Marcus said, it's something that I looked up as well, and it was around when the St. George's Park was unveiled and confirmed in January. It had been on hold for like 9 years.
This is the
centre of excellence for football coaching and stuff like that, which they're setting up.
Because they closed the one years ago.
It got closed.
Forget the name of
It got closed, and then obviously the money went into Wembley, which I thought was a massive red herring anyway. And then it got opened again. It's the equivalent of Francis Clairefontaine, which produced all these players.
Yes.
And Trevor Brooking in January said, "We don't keep the ball as well as other countries, and we aren't as good in the final third. You can't introduce that at 16. It has to be done before."
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And that's in January. And when Capello took the job at England, he said, "If England don't change, they'll be left behind. At the moment, there isn't the depth. It's a concern." You know, you can talk about these things over and over again. And then to follow up on that, the guy at Zonal Marking, which is an excellent website, said Germany didn't just outclass England; they offered a template for what England must seek to become.
I've often said that to you. Look, England should look at Germany and take that example, and especially with things like the Bundesliga. I mean, the FA and the Premier League. The FA lost control of the league in the sort of early 90s when it gave the rights to the powerful, the top 20 clubs in the country, hence the Premier League, and. They run that league with the interests of those clubs. They don't give a damn about England.
No.
They don't.
The money's not invested properly.
No, exactly. Yeah, and they, you know, attendances, TV revenues have boomed. But it's done little for the national team. And they sold the idea to the FA, saying that, well, this will benefit the national team, that the teams would be reduced to 18 in the league and fixture congestion would be eased. Clearly not happened.
No.
That's 18 years ago.
The German model for their national team is quite interesting as well, because they very much did just try and bring through a new generation of players.
That's
and
right.
Just start again, which is something England need to do. We need to end this reliance on certain players.
Yeah.
I mean, even somebody like Ashley Young, just they need to be tried a bit more. I really think this. You can't rely on certain players for the next tournament, so just don't bring them now.
No,
because
yeah.
It's not okay for these players to get you there and then think, all right, well, oh, let's see what new players have come through with like a month to spare. Yeah, it's just not going to work.
Why is the reason why Adam Johnson didn't go to the tournament?
Well, that's a concern.
Not enough experience.
Yeah, exactly.
So what should we do? We'll take Sean Wright Phillips.
Yeah.
Lennon was disappointing as well. We also have to factor in that England played badly. They let themselves down.
But these players aren't anywhere near as good as people say they are.
No.
That's the problem. So even for England, Aaron Lennon's apparently a good player. He wouldn't get anywhere near the top four or five nations team.
But I mean,
he wouldn't.
Look, I think the one genuinely world class player that would walk into most teams in our squad is Ashley Cole.
Yeah.
And he was poor as well. I mean, I know he's coming back from an injury, but they were all bad, even by their own standards.
He was one of our better players, I think.
I think he probably was
my favourite player, and even then, just simply because he tracked back and got the ball a few times. Nobody else seemed to.
I think we can all agree that the players who are like that, like the players who can carry the ball, the players who, like Ashley Cole, in fairness, whatever you think of him, and players like Joe Cole, they are the exception to the rule. They come through in England in spite of the system and not because of it.
It's the same game, isn't it? There's no reason England shouldn't play like Brazil. There's no reason Australia shouldn't play like Brazil. It's the same game. It's how you implement the way
we should be building teams around players like that rather than, I mean, Joe Cole's without a club effectively.
Like they say, get farmed up to the wing.
The trouble
whatever,
is
yeah.
though, it goes back, it goes all the way to, without getting too big into it, you know, the culture of your country,
yeah,
and that seeps into the footballing culture as well. And I mean, it's just ridiculous, you know, from you know, when you're knee high to a grasshopper, we'll stick the big lad at the back, he'll just punt it up the pitch.
Yeah.
But it used to frustrate me so much playing. Now, I've never played a great level of football, but everyone starts off at the same level for the first sort of 10, 12 years, and when you play, people in this country, the kids just tend to, they get the ball, they want to hog it as much as possible, and when they pass it, then they just stand still and wait for it again. There's no off the ball movement, and I used to love playing two touch games in training.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You touch, and it's the team with off the ball who gets it. And then at the end of the training session, the coach would shout, "All in," and you get all your touches, and then everyone would immediately forget what you've just learned and go, "Oh, great, I can hog it again."
Yeah.
And this ridiculousness and this kind of, I want to be the main man, me, you know. And you've got to, as you say, James, or whoever said it earlier, Germany weren't brilliant individually, but they played like a team, you know. Trevor Brooking was saying about the England under-17s who won the European Championship recently. He said they're the best group we've had in 6 or 7 years. But he said the trouble is, where are they going to get their first team opportunities? Because every place in the Premier League is worth 750 grand. So if you start trying to play youngsters and you lose, as he puts it here, three places, you cost yourself £2 million in the transfer budget, and it's all about money.
Mm.
So they're trying to get teams to find the right clubs for these kids.
Do you not think the thing of that? And I definitely think that Trevor Brooking is the only good thing about the FA, and he gets continually hamstrung politically and financially over and over again. And I think he's done a great job. He's done the best he can under really difficult circumstances. But the thing about the Premier League is that these teams are charged with success, and not only success but not losing an absolute shedload of cash, right?
Yeah.
So when they come, like, and it goes on to what Trevor Brooking I just read to you before. When you can't implement this at 16, it needs to be done before that.
Exactly.
So these clubs are going to they're not going and saying, right, I want, like, Arsene Wenger, contrary to popular belief, isn't going and saying, right, I want 10 new French players.
No.
I want 10 new Spanish players. He's saying, I want 10 good young players.
Arsene have loads of English players in their academy.
Well, exactly.
So they so often just don't make the grade.
But why would he? They just want good players.
Yeah.
Why would they? And if England aren't producing them, then there's nothing to do with Arsene Wenger. He's got to win.
Yeah. Arsene Wenger's doing more for the game in England than the Premier League is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, God, it was, who was it this morning? Phil Neal saying Fabregas has come in there and because Fabregas has been there since 16, that's someone else, you know, that's someone that hasn't got through because he was like he was saying directly because of Cesc Fabregas. If Cesc Fabregas hadn't come to Arsenal from Barcelona, they wouldn't be like a sort of Clive Fraser, right, who was an English kid who had come through the Arsenal academy and was now the same player. Yeah. It just doesn't work like that. It doesn't make any sense.
It's because of Cesc Fabregas, you know, that we haven't progressed in this tournament.
Yeah. That's why I'm not very good at football, Cesc Fabregas.
Yeah, he took our places.
Yeah, exactly.
It's true because the players obviously aren't there, and the players aren't there because they're not being developed at a young enough age. Because, like Marcus said earlier, there's not enough coaches. Mm. It's not being taught properly.
Yeah, well, and it goes back to that coaches. Hmm. Point as well.
Well, St George's Park is a massive positive step in the right direction. It's worth pointing out.
Well, if that had been built when it was supposed to be, but 9 years ago, we'd have a lot of 21-year-olds.
There was I forget who it was. A journalist went round with Gerard Houllier to all these French academies, and Houllier was saying, "Well, this is what we do here, and this is the players we're doing here." Now, I know France have had a disastrous tournament, but I don't think that's anything to do with their youth academies.
Yeah.
And he was in this. The guy was just blown away how amazing it was. And Houllier said, "Of course, you don't have anything like this in England, do you?" And the guy was like, "No, we don't." And Houllier said, "Do you know what? It would be frightening if England got these things if they got their finger out, because the talent that they could have would be immense." But he kind of looked at him and said, "But let's be honest, that's not going to happen, is it?" Had a little wry smile, you know. And you know,
well, Gerard Houllier's work for France has been unbelievable. They made up a special extra World Cup medal for him.
There you go.
In 98, because of all the work he did in the youth team at Clairefontaine and stuff.
Yeah.
And he really sowed the seeds for their World Cup win, really.
Incidentally, a lot of the England fans were pissed off, to say the least. Not so much because of the result. It was the England players. They didn't even clap them. They didn't go over there. They just went straight into the tunnel after the game. And these fans have paid a lot of money and travelled thousands of miles.
The German players were first class. They did all that.
But the German players are always first class with regards to decorum and
I think
and
Moller that time.
I think Stuart Pearce tells a story in 1990 when I think it was him. I think it was Stuart Pearce and another player got called into the
drugs test
physio room afterwards to do a drugs test. Just a random two players from each team.
They do that every time. Yeah.
And the other one was Mateus and I think Andrews Bremer or something like that. And they said that they were sitting in the dressing room, obviously. In the drug testing room, obviously mortified because they'd just been knocked out, and the German players were, you could hear them coming down the corridor, and as soon as they got in the room they were just silent, didn't say anything, just sat there, didn't celebrate.
Stark contrast to 86 when Terry Butcher and Maradona and co
well exactly yeah.
But
yeah.
Apparently Ronaldinho in 2002 apparently
was he the same. Well, Mateus went over to Waddle, didn't he, after the penalty in 1919 and consoled him and stuff.
I think the consolation here is I'd rather us get absolutely hammered by Germany than Argentina, and genuinely would, because at least
I would be petrified. God.
That as well, but also the
Germans are good winners.
The Germans are good boys. They're good winners. They've got great support. They've got a great league, and they'll shake your hand and they won't rub it in your face. Argentina, the complete opposite.
Diego Maradona, can you imagine? Can you imagine the dances he'd be doing?
Oh,
just a final note on the management thing, though. The other problem with the FA is they just
bring Terry Venable back.
But people, there will be people saying that.
The thing is,
the FA just chuck money at things. I actually think, and I know it's easy to be revisionist and it's easy to look back with hindsight, but the McLaren thing clearly wasn't a McLaren problem. It probably came a bit early for him, but if you look what other countries do, Yogi Love is the classic example. He was a number two, and I would imagine when he moves on his number two will come through. There's a continuity there. So a McLaren thing might have been a step in the right direction. Obviously the players completely took the piss out of him, but then what do you expect? They're a bunch of overrated idiots. They're going to be like that. And so what did the FA do again? They recalled from that when it didn't work, and they just chuck a load of money at someone else.
How much would 5 million how much of like a youth academy would that be? It would be a fair old whack.
Exactly. Look at Wembley, 800 million. It's crazy.
Ridiculous. Andy Gray was saying on the American
NFL will be back next season.
Yeah, exactly.
Andy Gray was saying on the American thing that he and Martin Tyler were doing that we should get an English manager back in. He said, you know, someone maybe even like Alan Shearer.
He mentioned David Beckham.
Yeah, with David Beckham training to do it in a couple of years with him as like the assistant. Someone, you can't just get an English bloke to do it. We've seen with Taylor and McLaren that doesn't work. to be fair,
but whilst I think that is a silly suggestion, I do think there is merit in the reason in the actual appointment of a young English manager, but he's got to be a coach. He can't just be a bloke.
That's the thing.
You've got to look at it. The thing is, people say, and the FA said it, and all the so-called commentators said it when Wembley was built. Oh yeah, you know, it's a symbol. It's what England, when English kids grow up, they want to play there. And it's like, well, Spain haven't got a national stadium, yeah, they've got a European Championship.
And if kids play on that, they'll do their hamstrings.
Exactly.
Yeah. They'll be like rubber fucking bands.
Yeah, exactly.
The pitch has got leprosy.
Yeah. Oh, dear. England were denied a perfectly good goal. I mean, I know that Germany were the better side and one thing and another, but what an awful mistake. Yeah. But
I mean, credit to England for effectively coming back from 2-0 down to 2-2 there. Because,
you found an ounce of credit.
You know, disallowed or not, that is impressive.
We've seen them completely capitulate before when they've gone a couple of goals down.
Yeah. What did I say to you, James, though, at 2-1 at half time? I said that disallowed goal will be an excuse they want just to die.
Well, we all knew it the second it wasn't allowed.
If it was me, and I've never played football at any sort of decent level, but I would never, just as a person I am, let alone being a professional sportsman and being that successful, I would never want that to be the reason I didn't go through the World Cup. I'd be so determined to not let that play on it and just go out there and say, right, that's one thing you can hang your hat on if you want to, but I'm not going to do that. Yeah. I'm going to do my best to make sure we avenge that, because that's ridiculous. And the thing,
oh bloody hell, these Germans are quite good though.
What? And I'm Luke Moore.
And one of the boys we were watching it with said, oh, could Perlis just go in there and say, yeah, I saw it, didn't go in.
Yeah.
I saw it. It didn't go over the line. Get on with it. Because just get it out of their mind.
Definitely.
You know. And one of the other things, by the way, is that, and I might be wrong on this, so you guys can pick me up on it, but apparently every single person in the world of football wanted video technology, apart from Sepp Blatter, which is not really how I remember it.
That's not how I remember it in the slightest.
It was like a bit of a sort of grey area, 50-50 sort of thing. Before.
I think most people are in favour of it, because this thing has happened so many times.
That was not a goal line technology problem. It was the fact that the linesman didn't see it, the referee saw it, I saw it, and I was in a worse angle than the referee.
With goal line technology, that eradicates that problem.
But the simple problem was that the referee should have seen it, the linesman should have seen it. The vacuum of technology doesn't stop you from doing your job properly.
People don't do their job properly, and they do make the mistakes, and teams suffer for it, which is just wrong.
But how would we get to a position where we would be arguing for goal on technology for that particular incident? If the referee and the linesman think they've not made a mistake, how does it come about?
What I would do is I'd have another official watching the game on TV off of the pitch, and if anything glaring like that happens, then it's simple.
For what incident?
Then there's Hawkeye.
For
goals, you can't have it for everything. Like, that's fair enough. Goals offside.
Like things like the other things that plague the game, dives, handballs, you know, these are all fluid sort of ideas that you need a referee for, and that's what they're there for. The main problem there was the fact that the referee, the linesman, should have seen the ball going over the line. Just the way it bounced. It bounced once, hit the bar, bounce, hit the bar again, and then bounce on the line. Obviously travelling back out.
The keeper caught it, didn't he? And I think that may be what made the referee think that.
Not that much needs to change about the game. If you can talk about, you know, did he dive penalty? We're not talking about that. We're talking about the goal line stuff. And the fourth official has access to replays.
Yeah, but he can't use them, retrospectively, officially.
But why not, though? Why don't we change that? Yeah. I mean, Zidane was sent off in the 2006 World Cup final because of a replay. Was it not?
Allegedly.
Allegedly, but... Yeah.
It happened in Spain last season.
Look at the Mexico match last night. Look at the guy who was playing out the goal being scored presumably he didn't realise that it was so contentious.
A goal, surely you would play it anyway.
Anyway, Sepp Blatter said, he came out and said that referees will remain human, which I think is a relief to all referees.
I do think he's a little confused there. Maybe he thinks when people say they want technology he wants sort of like Terminators or robotic referees. Maybe just someone needs to sit down and explain.
Well, he's on Twitter, so he knows a lot about technology.
Jagger could have done that.
Well, he mentioned that there's not the funding to bring in technology. How much are these technology, the goal line people asking for?
See, one of Blatter's arguments is that you can't implement it at every level of football. No. But I'm sure non-league tennis doesn't have Hawkeye on it. I think that's unfortunate, but that's just the case.
When I piss under league, we don't have linesmen.
Exactly. But not every league in the world has fifth and sixth officials. That was in the Europa League. And fourth officials as well. So it's a bit of a redundant argument.
Well, no, the thing is, and I think everyone can use this, and I would normally have a pop at Sepp Blatter about this, because he obviously isn't singing from the same hymn sheet of everyone who's just apparently changed their mind about video technology is that whilst you're right about the tennis at that level and you're right about no linesman at Sunday League, you, first of all, you need to make a conscious decision where you're going to implement it and where you're not going to implement it, because the Football League won't be able to afford to do it because they're skint.
Well, they I think I think the Football League would be fine. It's just things, what about when you're playing like the FA Cup, when you're playing very low quality but low level teams? They're not going to have access to it, and they're playing teams that are. And you know, it's, to be honest, it's 99% of the whole.
It will never be used anyway. It works. Happens like once every 10 years.
But it works in every other sport though. And every other sport has sort of lower leagues and sort of top.
We
leagues.
Never hear of these stories in the third division, the third tier of English football, simply because they're not on the bloody telly. You know, if it's on the telly, everyone's got a bloody opinion on it. If it happens at Hartlepool, if it happens at York City, if it happens at like Carlisle or something, nobody gives a toss about it, and you never hear about it again. That's the problem.
Yeah, but that's that,
because even Lamps, then, because Lamps has popped it in.
Even you know then, if someone's had a goal disallowed for something that, James, that should have stood, then it's wrong. It's getting the fundamentals of the game wrong.
You can't make an argument about something being implemented in football by saying it's done in cricket and tennis. This doesn't make any difference. It's a different sport.
It works in every other sport. That's the argument.
It doesn't work in every other sport.
Doesn't it work then?
Well, they use it in rugby, for example. Yeah. Rugby's a much slower paced game, more about territory.
Actually, I'm not saying that we should have sort of video replays on every offside and throw in.
It's just the goal.
It's the
in off the bar.
And I don't think
how long did it take us to see a replay of it?
No, I don't.
How long did it take?
Sometimes it can be inconclusive, but there should just be the option of the fourth official to go, it's inconclusive, I don't know.
So you can't give it then? That's fine.
It's just glaring things like this. It's not just England that's happened to. It happened to Mexico. It's happened to the USA twice as well. Goals they should have had allowed. It's such a big thing.
But it's not happened to them in terms of a goal over the line, has it?
No, but they're goals that should have stood. If something goes in the net or looks like a goal, then it warrants further sort of.
But you want it for goal line technology, or you want it for offside, or you want it for foul. What do you want it for?
For goals. Anything that affects a goal.
That's crazy.
Why is that crazy? How is that too much to ask?
It's the fundamental point of the game. One thing I will say is you can't implement it reactionary because of one incident. You've got to have a proper study into it. Then. Yeah, the questions have got to be answered that Pete brings up about FA Cup games, stuff like that. Are we just saying, right, it's just for international games? Or it's just for top-level leagues? What is it for?
If it is just for top-level leagues and it is just for internationals, what is wrong with that? If you can't do it in the Championship because of sort of practicality, why does that mean the Premier League or the World Cup should lose out because of that? It's just the practicality of the situation, which I think is what's not being dealt with.
What we should have is crepe paper, right? Just fill the goal full of crepe paper, right? Like a thin sheet of crepe paper along
like
the goal.
If it
goes through, there's clearly a goal being scored.
Now, hang on, Pete. Hang on.
Toilet paper.
No.
What?
It's a foolish thing to say. And I'll tell you why. What if the goalkeeper, he wants to have a little drink?
He'll keep his Lucozade in his pocket. But like tennis players have to keep their balls.
Then he dives on it. You're not thinking... are not thinking of the goalkeepers, and you're
also,
sometimes playing goal.
The ball could break the crepe paper, but the whole ball wouldn't be over the whole of the line. It would just break the paper.
But it would stick in the middle,
maybe, Luke, the crepe paper might be a couple of inches behind the goal. And then
the circumference of the ball behind
the
goal.
Do you remember a little while ago we spoke about something they're developing on Ramble Extra, which was a ball that changes colour if it crossed the line?
That
would be great.
You
that would
that
save
to me after the goal, or the Lampard one went over the line. That ball could have.
I'll blame the ball.
Could have won us the World Cup!
The goalkeeper should urinate in the back of the goal. Then, if the ball hits the back of the net, you smell a bogger. That smells like Jens Lehmann's piss.
And you could implement that at the lower level very easily.
Exactly.
Who's got
the stinkiest piss?
And if your goalkeeper refuses to piss, that you're only hindering yourself.
What do you mean you've just been? Go again.
Although you'd have to
combine it with a drug test.
Exactly. It's the only solution.
It's the only solution. Urine is the only solution.
Listen up, FIFA.
To FIFA and jellyfish things. Apparently, FIFA are considering further trials into the use of additional.
They say that every week,
with a view to potentially using them at the 2014 World Cup. I'm sure they won't, though.
They did it for the Europa League, and they didn't. We went to Europa League games, and they didn't do anything. I remember
a clear penalty.
At Craven Cottage had been a clear penalty, and the guy was right there.
We had exactly the same view as the fifth.
Yeah,
we were in the front row, right behind him, and we saw it. And Andrew Johnson was just like,
Come on.
That is ridiculous.
What are you here for?
I didn't like the fact that they were allowed to encroach in the keeper's territory. They were allowed to walk onto the pitch. I didn't like that at all.
Really?
Yeah, when the ball went up, they were sort of walking onto the pitch. What? I don't understand why.
Learn how to stand still.
I didn't see. I mean,
it was a cold night.
I saw loads of Europa League games last season. I didn't see a single fifth or sixth do anything.
No, I neither did.
I never went short. That upset me.
Yeah, and it upset them. Cold evenings. Argentina 3, Mexico 1.
That was just what I needed. After the England game.
Another controversial goal.
Yeah. Offside goal. There wasn't even one player between him and the goal.
No, I know.
Really silly.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a disgrace. Although, I think it was the 5'7" keeper Perez who protested. He put his arm up. Then I think he kind of rallied the troops and they all ran over to the line.
They did all. I mean, they all gave him a little bit of pressure. But the thing with that is that that only happened because of a mistake that was made in the stadium, didn't it? So they didn't know otherwise,
there was, wasn't it,
but there was a replay showing.
But the thing is, surely if it's a goal that stands, then they're meant to play the replays, aren't they? Otherwise all the Argentina fans are going, what's going on?
Well, the brief for the guy who does it in the stadium is that he's not supposed to do it for any controversial incident, but because he just thought it's definitely a goal, you know. Yeah. But they don't normally show that angle anyway.
Weird.
It was very odd. But I mean, the thing is, Argentina,
I reckon the guy in charge of the replays, he's a massive fan of the technology coming in, because he thinks, I could get a job about
him. Yeah. He's now been sacked. Yeah.
Second goal was what a mistake.
Yeah, that was a terrible one.
Your man Higuain scored.
Yeah. Lovely little
drag over.
Lovely finish. And the guy's climbing all over Higuain. Yeah. And he managed to sort of roll it up. Oh,
so the error was John Terry-esque, and the climbing all over Higuain was Matthew Upson-esque. Yeah.
The finish was Donaldson-esque.
Thank you, Marcus.
It's all right. It was a shame for Mexico because they started very well. Had a smack, a right old good shot.
They moved the
ball
around.
A right old good shot off the bar, I was going to say.
Is it Salcedo?
Yeah, he's a good player.
Was he instructed to shoot on sight? He must have had about 6-7 long range efforts.
There's been some awful long range efforts.
Yeah, I still really think there's question marks over Romero, personally.
Yeah, I do.
He saw that very late, didn't he? He had a lot of time to prepare himself.
Really interesting game, Germany and Argentina.
Oh, yeah. They had another couple of good efforts. Mexico, they did start well, but unfortunately, a goal which should never have gone in or been allowed. And then just a mistake, and it really killed the game off. Yeah. And then Heinze hit his head off a camera and got angry. But what a goal from Tevez!
Oh,
the second
beautiful,
one.
Wasn't it? Goal really, really good. He didn't look happy to be taken off, though, did he, Tevez? No. Strange.
I was depressed after the game, and I was a bit hay fevery. And that goal, that Tevez goal, got me out of my seat. It was an absolutely outrageous hit.
He whipped it because it was kind of to his side, and it was.
The technique to hit the ball that hard on the run is unbelievable.
Yeah. I thought Hernandez scored a great goal.
Unlike Di Michaelis to get turned.
Yeah, I thought it was good finish as well.
Yeah. Oh, what do they call him on the telly? McLugler.
Yeah, yeah.
Who?
Can't say Michaelis. They seem to have a real
McLugler.
Machula Fons.
The thing that annoys me about that is that
Never got it right once.
Yeah, all these commentators, right? If you're gonna right, you may be aware of some pronunciation that I'm not aware of, the local pronunciation, that may be the correct one, and I may be wrong, and I'm happy to concede that. But if you're going to get it wrong, at least do it wrong the same way every time.
Be consistently wrong.
Because I'll tell you, the worst one is Morales, the Portuguese player.
Morales. Yeah.
Every single time it's different.
Yeah.
It just really gets my goat. Just stick with one. If it's wrong, it's wrong, but stick with it.
Oh, Colin Murray referred to Dunga as Dunga.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
That man's been in the game for years. Yeah. That is poor.
Give him a bit of respect.
But Murray, when he says that, knows that he's saying it different to everybody else as well.
Surely. Yeah.
Surely.
Watching Argentina makes me think that the only team that will be able to do them over would be Brazil, simply because they defend a hell of a lot better than everybody else, to be quite frank. And they've got a lot up front, but Argentina look very weak at the back sometimes. Yeah,
they just think they'll score more than everyone else, don't they?
Brazil-Argentina final would be wonderful. So Argentina march on, as do Ghana. We've still got an African representative in there.
That's
superb.
Great
win. And the prince Boateng,
he went off
with a hamstring injury.
Do we know if he's out?
He's a lovely goal though.
So quick.
Another example of an uncapped, untried, untested player thriving international football
for a team he's not from.
But that match could have gone either way. There were chances both ends.
I feel with
a lovely one.
I really like the US. I think they're a good unit, and they move the ball around arguably nicer than England.
They play for each other.
Yeah, they really look like
they look happy for each other.
They've made a great account of themselves.
Yeah, I'm pleased for Landon Donovan as well that he's been a standout player for the US, because that's something they've lacked in the past.
That's right.
And he's been excellent.
Well, at least Bob Bradley had the prescience to realise that if they change if they change the formation mid game, get Dempsey and Donovan into the game more, they'd have a better chance. And he knew that, he implemented it, and it worked to a certain extent. They were unlucky after extra time, but they got themselves back in the game.
Jan scored a good one, didn't he?
It was a lovely finish, wasn't it? He'd got two penalties before, wasn't
it? It was a real World Cup goal, that.
That's right. Held the defender off. Yeah. And boom.
He could have gone down. It's the World Cup. I'm standing on my feet.
Yeah. Definitely. And this is for all of Africa. Yeah.
And Bradford City.
Absolutely rifled it.
ITV's commentary for some of these African matches, every goal that gets scored, it's for Africa.
Oh, bless them. Oh, they're so naive. Oh, bless
Africa.
Them.
It's for Africa. When they concede one, they don't complain, do they? So, you want to say this?
It's against bloody Africa. That goal hates Africa.
That is a declaration of war.
Bafana, Bafana.
Give us your diamonds.
Any excuse to say Bafana, Bafana was accepted and encouraged as well.
That's right.
First round.
Christ.
I think we're being nostalgic about the first round there.
That's all we've got as a new fan.
Not even that.
We were still in it then.
Oh, yeah. That 1-0 win against the
team. We could have won that.
That shinner from Defoe. From Jermaine Defoe. Oh, nuts. Never mind.
Uruguay will play Ghana in the quarterfinals because they beat South Korea 2-1, James.
They did. Suarez has come to life, which is nice, isn't it?
He's a great player, Suarez. And I think with Forlan and Cavani, they've got a real potent front three. Yeah. The great thing about Suarez's second was he celebrated and he knew he wanted to jump over the advertising boards, but in midair, he sort of realised there was a load of photographers there. He landed on them and they sort of helped him over. And he carried on. It was great. It was a great player.
Like a sort of... like crowd surfing.
It was, yeah. It almost was. I think they just didn't want their valuable equipment to be damaged. No. But I like to think they just give him a little bit of a helping hand.
Pete, one of the goals of the tournament so far, Suarez's second. Lovely bend on the ball, Pete.
Yeah, well, I always like a goal that goes off, pings off the... inside of the
post. Lovely shape on the ball when he hit it.
Real shame about that game is the just sort of didn't even look half full by the end of it.
Oh, I don't know, that is really annoying me, that is now.
At a World Cup,
we're going out there, it's great for us because we haven't got tickets yet, but when we get out there, there's going to be loads of room because aren't any of the games
for the final?
Well, maybe not. But the thing is, it's weird because that game looked, I know it was terrible weather, but that game, that stadium genuinely looked like half full. Which is every 4 years the World Cup.
Who would you fancy, Ghana or Uruguay?
I think Uruguay got too much up top.
I think
to Ghana, yeah.
Okay.
In their brains.
Argentina, Germany, Pete.
I'd like that. I'd like to see that.
Well, you will.
Tune in Saturday.
No, I fancy. I think Argentina have got enough to. Well, the Germany keeper, I don't think it was all that, to be honest. He made a couple of funny odd mistakes.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
I don't know about that one. It's going to be a very tight game. I think Germany have got a decent chance.
Oh, they've always got a chance, but I think Argentina will beat them.
You think so?
Yeah.
We've still got Chile-Brazil to look forward to. We'll talk about that on Thursday. I had an email from Michael Anderson going on with the lookalikes.
Oh, yeah.
Brazil keeper Julio Cesar looks like Trigger Happy TV's Dom Jolly. I think he's got a little point.
The best one I've had on email. We've had quite a lot of these.
I've got one.
Go on.
Will Young. Matthew Upson.
Yeah,
that's not a bad shout. The best one I've seen in emails is Diego Forlan and Sally Gunnell.
It's not bad. Spain v Portugal. Oh, that's a big one.
Yeah. For Derby.
For Portugal it is.
Yeah.
Spain don't care.
Spain will just swap them aside.
I don't know. I think
it's like England-Germany, isn't it?
Yeah, Germany don't care.
No, yeah, exactly.
They just put us away again.
Or even Scotland.
Political. You bitch.
Hey, Short Stacks, I got an email.
Short Stacks.
It's from by the name of very warm in here.
Yeah.
It's from a man by the name of Luke Nicholas. It says, greetings, Ramble Force Ho. Referring back to the great Nigerian age debate, I have to think that age in Cameroon must be dodgy as well, as seen as Rigobert Song, who looks like he's well over 40 and is in the same squad as his nephew, is still claiming to be 33.
He looks like the Predator. Yeah.
He looks like he's going off, I think. You know when like crabs get a bit old and they go a bit white, sort of thing? all of his hair's just started to like not look like hair anymore.
He's never 33. There's absolutely
so
no
that
way.
Means he would have been what 21 for 98 World Cup 98.
He played in 94.
Did he play in
17?
Well?
Yeah, is
he's
just
a
World
frightening
Cup?
Looking man. As an added bonus, in celebration of Japan going through, I'll give you a totally unfootball related story just because it's funny. I work as an English language teacher, and I was recently told the story of a relatively upper crust bloke working as a teacher in Japan who was teaching an all male class. He would always refer to his pupils as chaps.
Chaps. Yep.
Because I'm saying it because he's posh.
Oh, sorry. Oh, yeah.
After 2 weeks of teaching this class, one of his pupils comes up to him and asks that he stops calling them Japs, as it is very offensive. Imagine having the balls to just go and, yeah, Japs. And like,
what? old colonial general.
Yeah. Brilliant.
Gotta love misunderstandings. Keep with the good work. Luke Nicholas,
that's
thank
great
you.
Great email. It's actually worth pointing out that some of the Japanese fans have been mental.
Yeah.
Like, some of them are dressed as like giant Tic Tacs just for no reason.
Yeah. Are they Tic Tacs?
Well, it looked like that. I'm sure it's something else. But
pins, like bowling pins.
I've no idea. Whatever it is, it's for no reason.
It was in
their opening game, I think. But they've been throughout. Yeah. There's something different and strange.
Weirdly, Paraguay, there's been a few photographs of hot babes with the mobile phones top
pushed down
the top. But there's been about three or four though. I don't understand. Not is that three. The style?
One of them's definitely a model. I've read a news report about that. I think she might have been advertising something.
Get
the FIFA caught.
Put her in FIFA jail.
Actually, if FIFA listened to this, that's probably evidence. Not I say something, I may later rely on court.
Dear, oh dear. Now, it's that time again for Diego Corner. Can you hear me, Luke?
Yeah, I've got you loud and clear. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes.
It's worth pointing out that Diego Corner is actually a big yoghurt. Luke is sat in, as
well,
we speak.
Well, this week I've actually got Diego with me.
Have you?
Yeah, no, not really.
Ah, oh, sure.
No.
What's going on over there?
Just usual stuff, really. Candles and
there's no such thing as
no,
usual.
Sorry, I'll do that again. Unusual stuff, actually, really, yeah. So it's full of loads of people called Diego. So Brazilian star Diego, who missed out on the Brazil squad.
Chilling out.
Diego Forlan. Diego Tristan.
Milito.
He's there. Milito's there. Everyone's there. It's brilliant. but yeah, so we saw Diego get involved in a bit of a... Was he peacemaker in the fisticuffs?
He was,
actually. He was, yeah.
He was getting amongst it. He's so short, though, bless him, that he couldn't really get involved,
yeah,
could
yeah,
he?
Yeah.
But you could see them all crowded around him, and as always, he was like the centre of attention. but going into the Germany match... it's Saturday, isn't it?
It is, yes.
He's piped up and said, I want to place on my jersey and play.
Yes!
Good.
He's building up for the final.
Great. Get him on.
And he also...
He could be like Blanco.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant.
Well, you know, his Blanco didn't come on against Argentina.
No. It's probably for the best.
Yeah.
His career would never be the same again. He dedicated the win against Mexico to a MotoGP rider, Valentino Rossi.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Something like... People thought... These two quotes don't really match up. It's odd. It's like a stream of consciousness where he just picks different things from different parts of his brain and they come out together. There are two things I want to say. People thought I knew nothing about how to be a coach, and I want to dedicate this victory to Valentino Rossi. Did Valentino Rossi say he couldn't be a coach or something?
Weird. But Maradona does like to do things against people, doesn't he? Rather than sort of as an achievement in itself.
Oh yeah, he does. Yeah,
big time.
And who does Diego, apart from the English, who does Diego dislike the most?
German.
Pele.
Oh yeah, shit, Pele. All right, apart from him, journalists, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
And he piped up with a great shout to. It was absolutely superb. many journalists should apologise to my players.
But this is because they thought he was a rubbish
coach. Oh yeah, because they were touted and because he's used loads of players. And
in qualification they were awful, yeah.
I'm not suggesting you drop your trousers. But it would be honest and great so we all get along better that you apologise. I'm turning 50 and I am not bitter. Don't know about that. But I get annoyed when people don't respect my players. It isn't easy going from being nobody's back home to winning three matches at a World Cup. At a training camp, we had to swallow what you journalists all said about being a disaster, the worst Argentine team you'd ever seen. All of a sudden, we're an excellent team, the most handsome people in the barrio.
Oh, they're no nice.
Yeah, yeah. Great stuff. It's a great place to be, I tell you. It's much cooler than this studio as well.
Well, while Luke makes his way back into the studio from Diego Corner, I believe, James, you have an email.
I do. Hello, Ramblers. That's us.
Hello, yeah.
Whilst watching the Bathing with the Football Ramble video, which is obviously available on manmonth.co.uk, my eyes were drawn to Pete's leg. It appears that he has a tattoo. My first thought was that surely the only tattoo he would have would be of Peter Beardsley's name. Alas, my eyes were unable to make the nature of the tattoo. Is it Peter Beardsley? And this left me to wonder which footballers would the Ramblers want to have tattooed on their body. Personally, I would want Socrates, so I could show off to Brazilians, football fans and philosophers. Not that these are mutually exclusive. A triple whammy. Yours in Ramble Force Hoeing, David Butler.
Nice.
Who would you go for, guys?
It's a good choice, Socrates, actually.
I'd go for Diego Maradona as he is now, and then, but I'd put it on my belly and I'd put it sort of in between the flabby roll sort of thing, and then I'd sort of slowly.
So as you get bigger,
so as soon as I sort of like, if I sort of stretch my stomach out like that, his eyes get wider, like when that journalist suggested that he might be a homosexual.
Oh yeah.
I'd have like a little Baggio ponytail tattooed down the back of my neck.
That's a good shout. That's a great. I think I'd have like Peter Crouch on my appendage. Yeah. Then when I got aroused, he would get like taller.
Good one.
Yeah, I've got a big touch for a good matter.
Well, going on the theme of you saying with a ponytail had tattooed down your back. Do you remember when Del Piero had those really long, thin sides?
Yeah, they're great. You could grow them anyway.
I think you and I would have to have Baggio and Del Piero respectively tattooed on our backs. Just because it's not an actual depiction of the person.
Very
I
true.
Think that's fair enough.
Yeah, well, that's it. I'm quite a hairy man, so I'd probably incorporate Carlos Valderrama or something.
Good email, though.
Yeah, lovely stuff.
Mr. Butler.
Boys and girls, that is the end of Monday's World Cup Ramble. Just a quick note that Thursday's edition will be out a touch later. But don't worry, it will be smacking your ears soon enough.
Smacking your ears. it'll be a lot nicer than that, I can assure you. Don't listen to him.
More of a light sort of flutter around the ears.
That's right, that's it. Manmonth.co.uk.
Yes, just to follow up on what Pete said at the top of the show, manmonth.co.uk is where we're at throughout the World Cup. And our new video for this week will be up there from Wednesday, Thursday-ish. There's lots of blogs, courtesy of the fair hand of James or Jim Campbell. And you can also win some pretty good prizes. So go over there. Manmonth.co.uk with 1 million fragrance for men and the IGN network.
That's right. If you'd like to get in touch with us, the email address is podcast@thefootballramble.com. And the website is, of course, thefootballramble.com. And of course we will be doing the Football Ramble Extra on 442.com. That will be out on Friday afternoons, only available on that website. Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye, Luke.
Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, General Jim.
Goodbye.
It's goodbye from me. We're all off to drop our trousers. Cheers.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.